everybody, welcome. This is another episode of Couch Radio. This one's very exciting to us. We did this with Go from Kikugaku Moyo, and I first saw this band live at Bonnaroo this summer, and they absolutely blew my mind. It was by far my favorite set, and so I was very excited to get to talk to Go about their process and just a bunch of different stuff, where they live. It was really interesting. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did this conversation down at the Indigo Hotel in Austin, Texas. It was really close to the Mohawk, which is where they played. And you're going to hear people coming in and out of the lobby as we're interviewing them. But it's a great conversation. We're excited to get to it. First, the sponsors.
Yeah, the sponsors. Okay, first sponsor, Waterloo Records. Josh is an expert on Waterloo Records, so let's hear it.
I was just there to get some Christmas presents for some friends and fam. And you could just spend hours in there if you're a music geek, because they have everything. The oldest stuff, new stuff. What's that word where?
In the middle stuff.
In the middle stuff. Word I was looking for. Yeah. But if you go to the cashier and you say Couch Radio, you're going to get 10% off of anything that's not already on sale.
All right. The next one is Monkey Nest Coffee. And Josh hits up Monkey Nest quite a bit. It's kind of close to where he lives. And he gets a lot of work done there. I might go in there with Josh and he'll be like, these are the premium chairs. Everyone knows you're the Sultan of Monkey Nest Coffee if you sit here. So we go and he shows me where to sit. Also, they have a lot of delectable treats and things that you're going to want to order when you get there. And if you do, definitely, again, mention Couch Radio for 10% off. Tonight, we're going to Monkey Nest Coffee, actually, because we are working on our band's website, firstnamesmusic.com. If you're bored at work, hit it up. We're going to be adding stuff to the store there tonight, so we're going to be partaking in the Wi-Fi and the abundance of coffees and drinks.
If you say Couch Radio at any of these fine establishments, you'll get 10% off.
Everybody loves saving money. That's a win-win, baby. All right. Again, we're Shelby and Josh, and we are Couch Radio, but we're also the band First Name. So if you want to check that out, go ahead and type that into Spotify, First Names. If you're on socials, @FirstNamesMusic.
And the website is firstnamesmusic.com. Music, videos, Couch Radio podcasts.
What else could you want? All right, enjoy this interview. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Well, so I'm like super stoked to talk to you because you guys are one of my favorite bands that I've been listening to in the last year. But I think I'm going to ask the question that everybody wants to know. Who has the longest hair in the band?
Right now, maybe it's Daoud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's close, though. You guys all have like luxurious
manes. I cut it like recently.
Really?
Short, yeah.
You guys keep track of that? Who has the longest hair?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sure.
Looks great. Yeah, Shelby just got back from Bonnaroo, and he saw you guys there.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
My favorite show of Bonnaroo, for sure. Also, so like at the end of your set, it seemed like you guys were like improvising quite a bit, and like the crowd was just feeding off of that energy. Is that something that you guys incorporate a lot, improvisation in your set?
Yeah, like try to jam and... Yeah, just a jam.
Yeah. Do you guys, do you write like that? Do you write by improvising, or is it more structured?
It's more structured, but we make some part into jam. So we make it give freedom to the song. We've already written. Yeah.
Right. You can feel that listening to it. It feels... There's like tempo changes and that feels structured, but the jams feel like a jam and you want to jam.
Yeah, I want people to feel like see us doing like kind of like trying something to make, like music. Mm-hmm. And then I like musicians who I can feel like, oh, they're trying to do something rather than just like playing their set really perfect, which is also cool. But I want to see kind of like human side, like, because I don't want people to think we are like, oh, like great musician or somebody, you know. We are just like to play music and then kind of try to figure out, like, improv, you know. Jam is kind of like communication. Mm. And then it's like we don't know the answer. So that's kind of, we like the part about jam.
Yeah, it's unpredictable. And yeah, that unpredictable adds excitement
and something
to the show.
Thrilling.
Right.
Because you can feel, oh, maybe they're like falling apart.
Yeah,
or like,
yeah.
Oh, they did, okay. And then maybe he's running out of idea. And sometimes when you can feel, and then it's kind of like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crowd's on your side, though. Because I feel like if you can tell that a band you like is kind of like, oh, that's getting, they're falling apart a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they come back, they're like, they brought it back.
Yeah.
You know, like they figured it out.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So it seemed like, too, in those moments of the set that you were like, I don't know, you guys were, when you were engaging with each other a lot, and you were like smiling and having fun, it seemed like. So do you incorporate a lot of the improvisation because it's the most fun, like, and you're having the most fun while you're in the set, or is it for the audience?
It can be fun. Like, it's usually really fun, but sometimes it's, like, kind of, like, painful.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, we're, like, oh, like, falling apart. And I like that. Like, it's every day we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you watch for the changes? Are everybody watching you for the changes as a drummer? Or are you watching each other?
Changes. Like, it's for me, like, it's a drummer. I'm a drummer. Mm-hmm. So it's easier for me to, like, if I stop it. And then all of a sudden, it's bassist or guitarist's choice to go on, keep playing, mm-hmm. or they stop too.
Okay.
So sometimes I challenge that to others, and then they sometimes like bring ideas in. So we try to listen to each other and then look at each other. But, you know, like when you're playing jam with your friend, it's like you don't know what he's going to play. And if they say and play, like, kind of like,
yeah,
you know, riff or something, and sometimes it's like funny. Oh, like you came up with that, and then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we like sometimes laugh each other on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever take some of the things that you improvise and then incorporate them in your songs that you record?
We used to do that, but now, not really.
Okay.
Yeah, anymore. I don't know. I like to keep the jam bit as a jam bit, you know, like not take it like structured.
I
want to leave it as that was.
Yeah, if you're gonna structure out
only at the moment, it happened,
like the moment that you're recording it.
Yeah. In the live,
so you don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I like that.
That's interesting. So, I know you guys started out by busking on the street a lot. How is that going from doing that to people on the street to now playing sold out shows, to people coming and paying money to see you? Like, what's the differences? Is there pros of just playing out in the street and things that you kind of even miss about that?
Yeah, playing outside was something that we kind of like to do because we didn't have place to in Tokyo when we were all living in Tokyo. It's hard for us to go just play music. We always need money to rent a place, and also playing shows cost us money.
Mm-hmm.
So busking was something like one way to just play music.
Okay, yeah.
For free.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was like, oh, we cannot play in house inside because the houses are like really close together, and we had to go outside. And okay, let's play.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's
but
cool.
The difference from that to now, like playing shows, it's totally different experience. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Mm.
So how did how did the band originate? Who was the first members? Were you guys all original members? I know your brother's in it now. Was
yeah,
he
so
in it originally?
Me and Tomo met each other where I grew up. It's called Takada no Baba.
Okay.
And we just started saying, oh, let's make psychedelic music because it's like something we thought like, oh, it seems easy.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's just like a few chords, like about, like something like, there are many bands that we like that they're not doing something complicated, you know.
Right.
Kind of like simple, but it's good, repetitive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we had to find like members because we were doing just two of us. I was only wanted to play drums, but I never played drums before. So I was like kind of trying to figure out, yeah, and then start finding friends who, yeah, never really played in the band. So
okay.
So is it a lot of your guys' like first band?
Yeah, first band.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, heck of a first band.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, because it's good to play with someone who never played music before, because they'll play like something different. Like you don't know like.
They don't have a bunch of like habits already.
Yeah, no. So yeah. It's like something that's really original.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And especially in Japan, like we like to learn in a like kind of book way. Like if you wanna like, oh, you like learn from like video or like school. But so everyone play like same. Like really clean.
Okay. Yeah.
Where like America, many people play like different style.
Yeah, right.
Because they don't go to like school. They just play in your basement or garage.
Right.
So, which I like. So, that's something, the part we like is, yeah, kind of being new to the instruments and how to treat.
Yeah. So, when you say you were into bands that were playing like simple things at the time, like kind of they did a lot with little. What were some of those bands? What were some of those influences
like,
when you were younger?
You know, Les Rallies the Nudists.
The Nudists?
Yeah, Les Rallies the Nudists. It's a Japanese band called Hadaka no Rallies.
Okay.
Yeah, it's from 60s.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, it's just one riff all the time. Just feedback.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, like, yeah, when I hear, I thought, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's an is that type of psychedelic rock or like I don't know. I feel like there's like krautrock kind of influences sometimes in your music too.
Yeah.
Is that stuff like significantly popular in Tokyo? Was there a big scene of that?
Krautrock is kind of known.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
From like old time in 70s people are calling like, up to now people are calling German new rock in Japan or German progressive. And yeah, kind of like big influence on techno too, like Neue and Kraftwerk.
Yeah.
So I think lots of people who are into electronic music in Japan also, you know the synthesizer like aspect of krautrock.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. It is kind of like trance-like, and you comparing that to like techno, it's very similar. I love Neue. Like, I can just listen to that, and it's like, eventually the song turns into this thing where you're just kind of like, you feel like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
I feel like with krautrock, which is really nice. So speaking to that, and having different influences from different countries, I know you guys recorded your latest record in Portugal. Why did you decide to do that? That's an interesting choice.
Because first we wanted to record in nice weather place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, and then we really loved Portugal. Yeah, when we played there.
Okay.
And like really nice people and nice food. And then I was just like listening to music and somehow like I discovered this like producer from Portugal, Bruno, and that's why we just emailed him. hey, can you produce us? Because how we really like his records.
Yeah.
What did you hear from him that you had liked?
I don't know. Because we never worked with producer before, okay. Really. So in actual like producing and then with the recording too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we didn't know what to expect and what is really producer do.
Right.
But I was expecting kind of like I had a confidence that he wouldn't make it bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, and are you pleased with the record? Do you like the way it came out?
Yeah. Really good.
I think it's fantastic. And I love all the different tones that you guys have.
Mm.
Is Tomo really into pedals? You have a bunch of pedals.
Yeah.
You guys are really about that. Yeah. It sounds like it. I love it.
With the... when you guys were doing simple music, like from that 60s influence, when did the shift come where you guys were getting more technical? Because now you're so technically impressive. When did that... that switch happened, that shift happened from when you're like, we can do this, we're playing this simple music, we're having fun, to where like, let's see how complex we can get. Did it gradually happen, or did you guys just kind of suddenly like, let's try this?
I think because maybe when we are like playing on the street,
right,
we didn't have audience usually, and even some people stopped. But when you're playing on the street, there's no set time, right?
Right.
So you can play as long as you want.
Yeah.
And then we don't know when to start stop. Right. Because when you stop, like somebody's still like making.
Yeah.
And then like adding, and then like kind of like taking break.
Right.
You know, drinking, okay. And then just like start playing.
Right.
So we were like really used to doing that whole long hours. Mm-hmm. Of like just jamming, and then we sometimes like sleep and then wake up and then play.
Yeah.
And then when we say like, okay, let's make songs, then we kind of realize, okay, we need to have stop somewhere.
Right.
So how do you stop the song? And then we're like, oh, okay, we need ending. Or like, okay, how do you start? Oh, you need like intro or something.
Right.
So kind of like, we made this kind of like composition so that we can jam.
Right.
Because if you're just jamming, it's just like really on pressure, but people might get lost in a way. Yeah, because it's kind of like require lots of attention to actually see improv music, free improv or something. Yeah, so... I think that shift is like start happening like when we realize that
the structure of the song.
Yeah, structure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So and then we like that kind of like hard rock, like riffs or like,
sure.
Yeah.
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 And you guys are really very tactful about when you make a sonic shift in the song. So maybe you start off heavy, right, and then it's like you play it and you're entranced by it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden. Their wave happens and then it's clean and it feels good and then you're in a different place. And I'm just impressed because my personal music taste, I don't listen to jam bands very much.
Mm.
And if I'm seeing jam bands, it just feels a little self-indulgent after a while.
Right.
But when I'm listening to Kikagakumoyo, I'm not bored at all. I'm like, I'm either entranced by a certain part of it or like I'm enjoying a sonic shift.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can tell it's tactfully structured, but there's, like you said, like jamming and excitement and it feels alive.
Yeah.
And I just, that's why this is like my favorite kind of jam band.
Mm.
And I guess once again, kudos, because I can tell you guys put a lot of thought into the structure of the songs.
Yeah, structure, and then kind of freeze, kind of scary because...
Right. But that's why it's exciting.
You know, yeah, it's exciting too.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm audience, I like to see this musician make a mistake.
Yeah.
So that, oh, like they also make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay, then it doesn't have to be so professional. It's fine. Like there's something about that not just technically good is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you can feel like sometimes, like even beginner playing, if you have lots of like expression, right. You can,
yeah. You
know, there's like connect. Some human authenticism yeah, about
just
it.
Just a few chords, you know?
Yeah.
So I like kind of to think in that way.
I love that you're thinking from the audience's point of view too.
Yeah.
You're structuring your music and your show based on what you like to see and what you like to hear.
Exactly.
You seem like you're obviously a fan of music as well. Did you grow up in a very musical household? Because you and your brother are in the band, and your brother is like, didn't he travel to India to learn?
Yeah, he was living in India for a while. My mother is music teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was teaching music in elementary school. And she was like a singer, like vocal, like a kind of opera, classical singer, core.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I started playing piano when I was small. Mm-hmm. And was in like school bands and like playing trumpets. So I always liked classical music.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And then I felt like, okay, classical music, people just playing songs that it's written 100 years ago, like a few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
All the time, so many times.
Right.
And kind of make it perfect. But I thought like, they don't make a mistake, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somehow I like to, it's too good. It's really good.
You don't see that and think, I could do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's so good that it's cool, but too far.
Well, I think you do a great job of mixing the technical aspect of classical music with like the fun and like the excitement of rock and roll. It's amazing. I mean it's cool to hear your backstory and see how you are where you are.
Did that feel when you started getting into things that are a little less perfect and more unstructured, did that feel kind of like, is that like a rebellious type of feeling? Like, did that fuel it a little bit, or was it just, were you just drawn to it for some other reason?
I think it's psychedelic. The word music is kind of we are using as almost an excuse, because it's about the we feel like psychedelic music is about like mind and like how you feel, rather than just everyone is wearing like this 70s and then long hair. Now it's time to be like, time to something like you can experiment anything. You can put it any kind of sound, electronics or rap and like a lot of synthesizer. And then you can call it, I feel like this music is psychedelic, even like traditional music, because it's something to do with like body and mind when you listen. So I like that part of like, so when it's looseness, we said, this is kind of like, even you're loose and sloppy, but if the tuning is a little bit off, sometimes it sounds like a little bit psychedelic.
Kind
of like mind trippy.
Yeah.
If it's like a little bit off. Mm-hmm. Or like if the drummer is getting like faster, because it's not, and then it's weird and kind of going up and down.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys record with a metronome, or do you just let your tempo?
Yeah, we
happen?
Never use metronome.
Yeah. I like that. I think it definitely makes it feel more human. And that would, to what you're talking about, it seems like that would definitely
be. Yeah. So we feel it's okay to make mistake on stage.
Yeah.
It's fine.
When you guys are songwriting, do you talk about that a lot? Like about like the feels of it? Like how this feels coming in, how this feels switching?
Yeah, exactly. It's more emotional.
Yeah. So this is something that we've talked about a lot, and it feels like it's kind of difficult because you want to maintain that humanity, but also there's some weird part of like when you're making something, like if you're recording and you mess up, that feels like, I have to fix it. Do you struggle with that? Like, how much do you fix and how much do you
it's
not
usually
fix?
If you, like, we make a mistake and the person who made a mistake would know, right? Like, when you listen back. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then oh, I made a mistake. And then he will ask, like, hey, like, what do you think? And if I say, like, oh, let's do it again, then we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. If you ever said, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
Then I usually try to convince, because I always make a mistake. I'm like, drum is easy to tell, like, oh, bass.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's, everyone says it's good, then it's good. So not so much struggle. Yeah. Sometimes, like, the person who made a mistake wants to record again.
Yeah.
And everyone said, like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, but I want to, no, it's okay. Let's move on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the struggle.
Let's move on.
I think that seems very smart to just, like, put it, the decision making, like, if I make a mistake, then you make the decision, or vice versa, because you're more impartial, like,
yeah,
that, you know?
Because it's
really band. Smart.
And it's not about, oh, guitar part, drum part. Total sound. If it's like something missing, like, you know, like music is coming like this and then something goes off. But if it's like if it was like still fine, like maintain the like energy, I think it's fine for us.
Yeah.
You know, I respect the people who are like, you know, really, really perfect. But we don't take ourselves that seriously. It's fine.
Seems very healthy.
Yeah,
it
does.
It's okay. It
makes sense why you look so happy.
Yeah.
You're not killing yourself over like little minute details like that. And you guys have a great product that sounds alive.
I mean,
it really does.
Yeah. What? So if you started playing the piano and then you got into other instruments, what drew you to the drums? Like, what made you want to do that?
I feel like drums is something kind of easy.
Okay.
Because you just, like, hit.
Right.
And then you can sometimes hit, like, you know, tap your body. And then it feels like, oh, like.
Yeah. It's basically
like,
the same.
Yeah, maybe you can do it.
Right.
And then I just, like, picked up a drum, and then we are always jamming. So just starting playing, like, how, like, seeing other bands.
Yeah. So you teach yourself?
Yeah. But one person who I met in Japan, he was like a really good drummer. And I asked him, like, hey, I just start playing drums. Do you have any advice? And he said, like, oh, like, don't practice at all. He said, like, if you practice, you're going to play like everyone else. And he said, everyone has different body, like short, arm or like long arm, like more muscle or skinny. So it depends on your body. And he said, like, he was kind of tall. So he said, like, yeah, I have a tall and then like long, so I usually like play like kind of like spider, so put the cymbal kind of far away so it looks like kind of like this. And so he said, like, yeah, just about your body, like, drum is very physical, like, so primitive. So just play like as you want to move. And he's like, oh, that's cool, like, I don't need to practice.
yeah,
and then
I'm sold.
Yeah, and then sometimes, like, I hit the wall, you know, off, like, I want to play like that, but I don't know how. Like watching King Gizzard video, and
those guys,
you know,
so
tight. And then I like sometimes watch YouTube video, like, how to grab whole drumstick.
Right.
And everyone say totally different thing. And I was like, I get confused. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's really interesting. I don't think I've ever heard anybody really talk about like specific body type as far as like, but it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
So,
because Shelby is so muscular and he hits the drums so hard.
Just too much muscle.
Too much muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, the pecs, you know, he's got a lot of meat there.
Yeah. And it feels good.
It does.
You know?
It feels like the aggression of it.
Yeah, and I was, you know, walking in Tokyo, used to be, and kind of stressful life. And then, like, play drums is like, you can hit as hard as you want.
Yeah.
And people say, like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's true. It's fun to learn the drums even when you're bad. it's still really fun, yeah. Which is kind of different with other instruments. It's not as fun at the beginning, but with the drums really
I
is.
I think so. And I like the drummers who is not drummer, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Who can play different instruments mm-hmm. too, you know?
Yeah. So speaking of King Gizzard, by the way, I know you guys played Gizfest. Was that in 2017?
Yes.
And I know, so King Gizzard, Eric Moore, drummer, who also runs the label. You are also a drummer.
Yeah.
You're running your own label. How much influence did you take from that? And how is that balancing touring, recording,
I think
label?
I was really inspired by Eric when I went to Melbourne.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to their like studio. I think now it changed, but like they had a rehearsal place, and then upstairs they had office, and we were still in our living room, like packing by ourselves,
uh-huh.
and like next level.
Right.
And I, you know, he gave us like lots of advice, and just kind of talked like how, you know, like I asked like how you tour and like, you know, like what, how do you do like kind of like distribution, like PR,
right.
kind of like music, like labels, like work. And I really like having a label because it's also, I can meet people or connect people with like people who are in the music industry,
mm-hmm.
not just a musician, but right. they also sometimes give me really good inspiration and kind of like I can sometimes you can meet people who just like know so much good music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a lot of work? I imagine it's a lot
of work.
Yeah,
it's lots of work. On especially on tour.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of worth it because we're trying to do it by ourselves, which is kind of like our responsibility if we messed up. And
right.
that way we cannot blame on somebody.
Sure.
You know, and then if this is going down and we did too much, and that's the result of it, mm-hmm. and I think that's fine. And I take it like kind of like good challenge and good project and fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you find yourself, so you're probably working with a lot of different artists now,
yeah.
and do you find yourself being inspired by these other groups that you're putting on
yeah,
the label?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And lots of, because all the Asian music, so different countries has different scene.
Uh-huh.
And the history of rock and roll is different for each Asian countries.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to like do the label and then connecting with Asian artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to support the Asian community because they are also like underrepresented still.
Right.
But people are curious. Now like people are open about listening to music from different parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. In America and Europe too.
Mm-hmm.
So I, and then we grew up listening to American music, obviously, and then without knowing what they are singing about.
Right.
And just the sound feels really cool and then looks really cool and sometimes like fantasize, but we didn't have clue.
Right.
What you're saying, and then we could really appreciate, and I think it could happen vice versa,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
like you can feel, yeah, and then that's kind of like our goal.
Yeah, well, I think you guys are a testament to that. There's you know, lyrics that I don't know,
yeah.
but yeah, there's some sort of connection happening with your music for sure, and it's also really cool because you guys are probably also kind of like ambassadors almost that. Through you, I'm listening to you, and then I'm like going and listening to other bands from your label as
yeah.
well. So it's, you're kind of like really,
yeah,
you know, showing people that all this other stuff as well as your own stuff.
Yeah,
really
we
great.
Brought on this tour Minami Deutsch.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they told
yeah,
they
awesome.
They played last night. Yeah, and they, yeah, they are like our friend when we just start playing music. One of the few of them, or like just coming to play.
That's so cool.
Jam on the street.
Yeah.
And they started like, okay, we're going to just play crowd rock
yeah.
only.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And they release and they start touring in Europe, and this their first tour in the US. Yeah, so it's so difficult to come to US because we need a visa. And Europe we don't need. But US like it costs so much money. It's really hard, and it's really good to support each other. And and when we go to Southeast Asia, we always get help from the band that we release in the country. You know. It's good.
That's really cool. I love that. Because it seems like you're doing... That's how Flightless is. Their whole thing is like, you know, they're friends, and all of a sudden you're listening to King Gizzard, but then you're listening to, you know, like Stonefield or Babe Rainbow. And
yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing with what you're doing. It's really cool. As far as like product and stuff, like as far as like how involved are you in creating like, say, album art or like the colors of the pressings or like stickers or t-shirts? By the way, your t-shirts were sold out at Bonnaroo. I tried to buy one. No more t-shirts. Everybody wanted the Kikigaku Moyo t-shirt, man. So how involved are you in making all that stuff?
That's Tomo's main thing.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, Tomo does most of the visual thing. And he just pick up artists and like find out like Instagram or internet and just try like reach them and explain who we are, what we do. And can you like draw something?
Oh, cool.
Just listening this listen to music, and then they just like give us art. Oh, then let's make t-shirts. Oh. And we like collaborate with like different artists. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you travel with I'm sure you have a certain amount of merch, but do you bring all of that from...
We make in the US.
Oh, you make it in
the
US?
Yeah, okay. When we are like touring US, and then sometimes if you're going to Japan, we make there, or we bring or ship there.
I see.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's just so impressive, everything you're doing.
It's a lot to deal with. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like fun for us. You know, some bands or musician only wants to make music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just write and then compose and stuff. But I like to do something else too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Email.
Yeah.
Excel sheet.
Yeah.
Exercise different parts of your brain and everything.
Yeah. That gives me also good. I don't know. Like, how do you say?
Perspective.
Yeah, perspective.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's probably nice to have more than one creative outlet, you know, rather than just like playing drums or whatever. That's that's really awesome.
Yeah, and nice to collaborate with like someone who is not musician, you know, because sometimes visual artists totally listen differently, or we collaborated with like fashion. Too, like designer, when they couldn't tell, like okay, how they don't have the musical term, or can you like quiet or something? But just like try to figure out the common thing with like different field of artists. Yeah, that's really fun.
So I read this, and I don't know if it's true, but do you live in Amsterdam now? Is that?
Yeah,
is
I live in Amsterdam.
Okay, so you and Tomo live in Amsterdam?
Yeah, Tomo and I live in Amsterdam.
And the rest of the band is still in Japan?
In Japan.
How does that dynamic work? Does that affect your guys' writing?
It affects the writing because we just don't live in the same place anymore.
Right.
We used to live together. And when we all in Japan, we all had like work and full-time job and stuff.
Right.
So we like walk until 6 and then go to studio until 11 and then go back home and sleep and go to work. And that was kind of like once a week. And then like you go to studio and try to make a song, and then we only have like 3 hours. So you have like another week to kind of like develop the idea.
Right.
And so we had that kind of like cycle that we like routine, but now like we live to a totally different place, and then we have written some songs over internet. Just like we had a Dropbox, then we put any idea per week, so February, week one, week two folder, and we just put anything that we felt something. It can be anything, like paint or picture, movie that you saw, some humming or just like rhythm or just some riff. And we try to write that because, like, yeah. So we are trying to be so cautious about how our feelings when we're not on tour. Yeah.
Comes from, like, starts from something that moves you. Like, yeah, emotional exactly. place. And you guys
and
still have
try
that.
Try to be kind of sensitive.
Right.
Not like if everyone's enjoying sometimes, like, you feel like you're. It's good place or something, but if you don't like it or something, you can. I would feel like, oh yeah, actually, I don't like it. I like to be here or something.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to like party,
yeah,
and it's like really good, like mood. So you feel like you have to kind of act like that.
Yeah.
But you're like so sensitive, like and then you just like realize like, oh, maybe like I kind of want to go home or something,
right?
And try to be like.
Aware. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I feel like that kind of experience can bring like music, you know. Mm-hmm. I can make music from, try to make music from
an honest place.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I loved your last record, but I wonder if this whole different writing process is going to produce a pretty different record for your next one.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
I have no idea.
Do you think same producer maybe next time?
I don't think so.
No? Try something new?
Yeah, try something new.
You seem like
new.
A guy who likes to try something new.
Yeah.
So always keep it fresh.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of record.
What the inner products are going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to finish this tour first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we can actually think about it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so you're here until the end of November. How much time do you typically spend away? You guys seem like you tour quite a bit, so how much time are you on the road versus at home?
This year, almost like touring days is like over 100 days, like we shows and in different places.
Yeah, wow.
But out of year, we have not been home like 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Because 9 months.
High.
So, yeah. So, yeah. It's.
Is there?
We don't know where we are living.
Oh,
we are living in the van.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, not really Amsterdam.
Yeah. <Just like. laughs> That's an interesting thing too. Cause so like I imagine that as you become more successful and you're touring more, it can also get a little bit more draining. So, is there like a particular like. Bad job that you had in your past that you can reference and be like, oh, like this is kind of tough, but remember that job? That was like really bad. Like this is actually really nice. Like some way to keep your perspective about it.
I think not really comparing to bad side of the job because like it was really like tough, you know, being like, you know, I've done like lots of jobs and then, but that also gave me confidence that, oh, like I did this. Like, I could do that, and then I was not really dying and depressed, and I could still make music from that experience, or, like, kind of, like, stressful, like, Monday to Friday, full-time, overwork, overtime.
Right.
Yeah, and then...
And then you still do music.
Yeah, so we could still make music, so I feel like thinking back about the experience, and then, oh, like, if... Nothing like, you know, if we stop music, oh, like I could go back. So like when we are doing this touring, I just feel like really appreciated, and it's privilege, you know, not everyone can do this. We had a privilege to that we like speak English, we had like okay job, so we could like support ourselves and buying like flight tickets first and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, not like, you know, everyone has the same opportunity. So I want to make that more happen to other Asian bands.
Right.
Because for us, like touring US, touring Europe is like dream. Totally dream, you know?
Far away. That's awesome.
Like over Pacific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just try to remind ourselves how lucky we are to be able to do this.
Sure. Yeah. You seem like you're just a really grateful guy who's kind of living his dream.
Yeah. So I don't want to forget that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's really great. I mean, it's just so cool to be by anybody that's like this on their path. You know, like it feels like you're really doing what you want to do. And you're grateful that it's happening.
Yeah. And then when when I used to be like just like going to shows and seeing like touring musicians, and you had no idea like what kind of life they're doing. This is like, oh, coming on the stage, playing killer show.
Yeah.
And oh, cool. And then you see the dates, touring dates, and just imagine like what, how it's like, you know?
Yeah.
And
what does it feel like?
I feel it's actually fun, and then it's also crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels good to play music. And then people get excited.
Yeah.
And we so happy just playing music. Yeah, and then that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll let you go because we know you have to play a show soon. But just I want to know, what did it feel like the first time there were people outside waiting for you guys to go on? Because at one point, you guys were on the street just playing to nobody. And then one day, you guys played a show, and there were people waiting to see you.
Yeah, what was that like? In our first tour in Brisbane, we went to Australia. The first show we ever played in outside of Japan.
Okay.
And we met people coming from Adelaide, like just to see us. And we only had like one record, and and then we played a show which was kind of like mess, but people really liked cheered.
Yeah.
And then we saw, oh, like this, is this okay? It seems okay,
right? Yeah.
So that was kind of like fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like people like it, so maybe it's fine. Like this. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. It's been a treat talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Very inspiring. Yeah, usually, and to end it, usually we just ask people if there's a cut. We have a playlist that we make with this, and we were just curious, is there anything, any music that you're listening to right now that is particularly inspiring to you that you're listening to right now? Just a couple songs?
Yeah, I can give you America, the band America.
Oh, really?
Homecoming.
Okay.
Homecoming.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's really feel good to listen to an album called America in America. Yeah. It's a good driving song.
It's a meta album, right?
Yeah, and yeah, I like this record because it's really good arrangements, and it's from like 62 or like 72 or 74,
okay,
somewhere like that, and then it's when the rock and roll was becoming commercial. You know, the way it becoming like sold, produced, and end of like rock and roll.
Okay.
And then, but the kind of little bit psychedelic, you can hear.
Sure.
The last bit of psychedelic. So some fuzz and some weird wah. But not much, and then produced well, and then I like kind of like start finding interested.
Right, because towards the end of the 70s, they were trying to make everything super clean.
Yeah, super clean, but kind of a little bit psychedelic.
Yeah,
but not really.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
All right,
yeah. And arrangement is really good.
Sorry, what's a song that that you like maybe from like when you were younger that like was one of your main go-tos that maybe was influential to you when you first started learning drums or piano?
Offspring. Americana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I listen.
That's a great answer.
It's like, what? It's so good.
Yeah.
And like seems not that difficult. The guitar.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, you don't know, power chords. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then
I know it's difficult to choose, but if you had to pick an Offspring song, what would you say? If someone didn't know the Offspring and you were like, listen to this band, which song would you pick?
This is like kind of guilty pleasure because this is like something like I felt like in love with like American pop, punk, and then I felt like, oh, like what? That's something like I was first interested in America, because could hear, like America, like world, like, you know, growing up in Japan. But we don't, you don't know, like, what's the difference between, I thought, like, foreign country is America.
Oh,
I thought,
okay.
It's like equal, but that strong influence, that's a culture. Yeah, I don't know which song.
Okay.
Feelings. Yeah, it's a cover, but.
Okay. Interesting. That's funny. I have very similar, like, I feel like a very similar, like, you know, connection to that type of music when we were kids, too. I remember being in elementary school and listening to somebody's Offspring CD on their CD Walkman, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. Well, great, man. I had a great time talking to you.
Yeah,
and like I said before,
you.
I'm a huge fan of your band, so this was a special treat for us.
Yeah, right. Thank you, guys.
Good luck at your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, sold out.
See you.